Call the ambulance.
Check, 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 check.
Hear the siren, President.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to JBM Podcast. Best bloodly podcast in the whole entire nation.
Bap, bap.
What's going on?
Yo. Yeah, bro. Another day on the grind.
Awesome.
It's Corona time.
Corona time. Another day on the grind. Yeah, I like bro. It. I think we may name this episode that.
Corona time, another day on the grind.
So, speaking of that, this one's going to go down in history. The first podcast since this COVID-19 has appeared in the U.S. and all over the globe, disrupting our normal way of life. Today, I want to talk about the benefits of the things that we're doing due to the coronavirus and the different processes that has been become the norm, like working from home, etc.
Yeah.
Versus always being on the grind, always on the road, always clocking in and out at a certain location. We want to talk about the negative side of things, where coronavirus has, you know, increased the unemployment rate. You know, closures of businesses that we usually go to, nail salons, spas, things that are non-essential. Being honest, with this COVID-19 situation that's going on right now, we're actually doing this podcast remotely, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
What's your location? I'll tell you mine after yours.
I am at the house in my little homemade office working.
Nice. All right.
Yes, sir.
And I am out in the nature trying to get a workout in as we speak. So hopefully for the folks that are listening, not only thank you and thanks for all your compliments and motivation to keep this podcast going, but most importantly, I hope everyone that's listening to this podcast is doing okay. Health first, financial second.
Very much so.
So speaking about finances, I want to hear your gist. I know Don Carleone, aka PE, aka Ricardo Miller, is on this podcast. And he is the financial guru, as he's been through a lot when it comes to finances and how to capitalize on situations like this. Definitely. Any recommendations?
Oh man, first and foremost, I would tell everyone to look into this CARES Act. Like, the stuff that are implemented in the CARES Act is amazing. Of course, you see everybody already going with the unemployment, with the 600 weekly. Of course, you're getting, if you're in states where you get the state benefits, you get that on top along with your weekly pays. One of the great things that I noticed that I really love that they're doing is that they're doing for furloughed workers, which are workers who are pretty much still on payroll, but your hours have been either cut in half or you're not able to work. But they're saying, hey, when work comes back, you can come back on. You still qualify for these unemployment benefits. And I think it's going up to what, almost like 37 weeks or something ridiculous like that, that you're going to be getting this even after you go back to work. So it's a great way for them to try to stabilize the economy. Another one of the powerful thing, anybody who has student loans and you're still employed and you're working with a company, ask them about the payoff that's in the CARES Act, that they're contributing up to $5,250 that they're paying towards your student loans. And it's tax-free to you as the employee, and it's a tax write-off to the benefit. So I think, you know, it's just a lot of great things that they're trying to do. Of course, you just got to make the best of the situation. If you're fortunate enough that you're still employed and you can work from home, then it's really just about just maintaining your expenses, budgeting, and just staying in line until everything breezes over.
Do you think we're ever going to get to a normal financially?
I think there's going to be a new normal. I don't think that everything is going to go back the way that it was, me personally. That's just my opinion. And I don't see us starting to make an upturn until at least a year from now. I know that sounds horrible to say, but I really think between the two administrations, the way that they're going, it's wonderful to see that they're coming together for the benefit of the people. But I think that at some point they want to make Trump look so bad that they're going to try to draw this out past the election time, so that way it can defeat his odds of winning. So,
right.
And I mean, I'm all about being strategic and strategy, but when it, but it, you got to have some moral compass when you're putting people's lives.
How do you think he's handling it, and is, you know, folks are handling it? Do you think, I heard mixed reviews. I'm not trying to get into politics. That's something I really try to veer from, politics and religion, especially on this podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
Speaking freely, though, how do you feel like he handled it? Do you feel like there's more that he could have done? I've seen a lot of things where it was played down, and then I've seen a lot of things where he actually made good attempts, and this virus is changing, and we really don't know what to expect, but folks are holding him accountable for certain things. And do you feel like he did what he could? He's doing a good job.
I think he did the best that he could do in the position that he was presented with.
Right.
You know, and I know a lot of people, they don't like Trump, and I honestly think that he did the best that he could do in this position. And a lot of people are gonna be like, "Yo, what the hell, Ricardo? Talking about Ricardo's crazy." And I'm just like, you really got to sit down and think about this.
Why do you think certain things that he's, I don't have any hard facts right now because there's so much shit.
It's so much
that
it's,
is going back and forth between the two, between, you know, like both literally. I could watch CNN for 15 minutes and I'll switch over to another news station, and it's almost like a battle.
It really is. That's honestly what it is. It's the bickering. And when they were actually trying to draft this agreement, some of the stuff that they were trying to put into the agreement that had nothing to, they were trying to put solar panels, a solar panel bill in the agreement, and that held the agreement up for days. Like, I didn't understand that. And I was trying to figure out, why would they try to put solar panels in a corona, in a stimulus package to battle this corona that's tanking our economy?
Right.
And I was just wondering, like, I'm just like, why would somebody even be considering doing that? And they see that people are dying. And it kind of sucks because I only know a couple of people who actually, like, got the virus. They aren't dead or anything, but they actually just got it. Right. I don't know anybody close to me that died, but seeing what's going on in New York, New Jersey, all these hot zones, and you would think that they're worried about solar panels when these people need support. You got these medical people that's risking their lives, their family lives. They're on the front lines every day working these crazy, ridiculous shifts. They're short staffed. They don't have all the material they lift, and you're worried about solar panels?
Yeah, there's some little sketchy things going on, you know.
Yeah,
like, everybody's kind of looking out for themselves and their well-being at the same time as other folks. But how would you suggest folks that we know, or normal folks, civilians that are friends, family, acquaintances, to handle this type of situation? Let's speak about the stress of losing your job.
I mean,
like, what are some recommendations? Like, hey, I lost my job yesterday. Can't pay rent. I got one check coming in. I don't have any savings.
I know locally here in Orlando, there is a program that's going on right now where they are paying people's rent if you do qualify. As you see, there was recently bills passed that prevents you from being evicted, etc. But I would still be in communication with your landlords and let them know, hey, as you see what's going on, I just want to keep an open communication and an open channel with you in regards as to what's going on with my work situation, and I'm not able to pay, but you do understand that the stimulus check is coming and I will be able to take care of that from that. But
how much is this stimulus check? Is it going to be $1,200?
It's $1,200 from what I'm seeing.
But like, think about, my thing is this, think about the delay in time.
Yeah.
Though they, you know what I mean? There's going to be a lot of that money is not going to do much. It's not. For a lot of people. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, be honest. It's not. If a thousand dollars changes someone's life, they weren't doing that well to begin with.
That's true.
Yeah.
Very harsh, but very true.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you got to be that harsh. And I don't want to attack anyone, and I don't want anyone to take it that way. But if $1,000 changed your life, you were in a bad position to begin with. And that's just...
Well, this is how I see it. It's a good effort.
Yeah.
You know, it's better than $0.
It is.
You know what I mean? And you could do a lot of things. You just have to be really smart with your money. And, you know, I've been warning a lot of folks about this type of situation since last year when I started the podcast. Mm-hmm. This actually whole podcast was because I was in a situation where I was just not being responsible. I didn't have much motivation to be responsible. It was just an in and out type flow.
Yeah.
Money's coming in. I see the money. I'm making money. And the money's going out. I'm enjoying myself. I'm doing what I want. Never thought about the future. I love a balanced life. And sometimes you want to balance it to a point where it's not really balanced anymore because you feel like it's balanced.
Right.
Because you're working so hard. So you're making all this money. Where are you? At work. 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 Cash, cash, cash. But then the balance is, for me, at that point last year, was VIP bottles, trip, car,
yeah.
Rims, watch.
Living life, yo.
Gym, personal trainer, you know?
Yeah.
Steroids,
this freaking guy.
You know, cocaine. Yo, we having a party or what?
Oh gosh, you're funny.
So,
and that's
you gotta realize that's really not a fucking balance.
Yeah,
that's one of those balance where you get to zero all the time.
Oh goodness,
if you make 5 step forward and 5 step backwards, you're never gonna go anywhere, bro.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. I think right now people who are in that dire situation, if they are really in that position where they really have to prioritize their spendings, I would do what we call in the financial world is called the four walls. It's the foundation of every household. It's the mandatory things that you have to satisfy to survive. And it goes in a priority order like this. First thing you got to take care of is your food. That's mandatory. Food is the first and foremost thing that every household.
Let's break this down.
Yeah.
Let's break this down for folks who are listening.
Okay.
And again, thank you guys for listening. So state that one more time. What's the first wall?
The first wall is food.
All right. So now let me ask you, I'm going to be like someone who has no knowledge of this and I'm learning as you speak.
Right.
So food, meaning, all right, let's be realistic here. Mm-hmm. Today, Saturday,
right?
You know, in April,
mm-hmm.
Coronavirus,
yeah.
Money's limited.
Very.
I'm out of food right now. Grocery stores are open until 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Please give me an example of the four wall. How can I utilize the four wall?
So with food.
First one, food.
I'm not talking about, you know, like the fast food, the eating out. But,
no.
But definitely going to go get some regular, some meat, some chicken.
Just speak to me like I'm gonna do it right now.
Like you're gonna do it right. Okay.
So folks could understand. We're starting today.
Well, I can.
So folks could understand.
I don't know the demographics that's mainly gonna be listening to this, but I know us Caribbean Yachty them. I can speak to them. Like I'm talking about white rice. I'm talking about bully beef. I'm talking about.
So basically,
just survive.
Basically, you would say
mm-hmm.
today, you check out your refrigerator. You say, okay, I'm gonna stock up for the week. I'm gonna start cooking. I'm not gonna eat it. I run to the fast food places. I'm gonna try to have enough food to last me.
I want to go for the month.
The month. Okay. Yeah. So you say, hey, first of all,
mm-hmm.
food. You need food. You have to survive with food. So today, you get up. You go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
You get some shit.
Mm-hmm.
You cook it. You pack it away. You ration your food. You got food. You don't have to be spending extra money unless you really want to
right.
at a fast food place or you're caught off guard.
Right.
Does that make
that
sense?
That makes complete sense.
All right, cool. What's number two?
Number two, lights and utilities.
All right, so, all right, I got my food
mm-hmm.
out of the way. So I'm good for about, let's say, 2 weeks. A month for me is extreme, bro, because people are not like that.
But yeah.
I mean, every week I could, or every 2 weeks I could get more.
Yeah,
groceries,
even if you, as long as you put the money down that in the next 2 weeks you can go and last another 2 weeks with the buying groceries again, that still works. But but at least plan for a month to have enough money to cover what would take for you to eat for a month, or your family size.
So that's the key.
Right.
You put aside money to last you for food. So food's out of the way. You, whether you pack it in your fridge, you cook it every day, but you got like $10. This is food for the month.
Right.
Got it.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Number two, you said it was?
Lights and utilities.
Lights and utilities. All right. So meaning what? First of the month?
Your light bill, your water bill, anything associated with the functional operations of utilities and water in your home, that needs to be paid next before anything else. Food first, then lights and utilities.
Okay. So now I would say, me personally, I kind of look at it, I forecast it. So for example, I'm not sure if you could show me your way, but how I do it, and I'm sure a lot of people probably do it differently, is I look at all my bills, I write them down, or you save them in your phone or whatever you want to do, tattoo them on your neck. But the thing is, you know that my entire bill for this month coming up starting April 1st is going to be $600 in utilities or rent or whatever fucking case may be, car payment, whatever. So you know that, boom, first of the month, you knock them all out. Even if it's due on fucking April 31st, or I mean 30th, you still knock it out in the first of the month. So because that's important.
Yeah.
You need your living, you need your light, you need your water, you need every fucking thing that you could use to live.
Yeah.
So now you got two big major bills out.
Yeah. Those are the two first two walls.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the third one?
Next, the next wall that comes after that is your housing, your rent, your mortgage, whatever it is.
Okay, so the first one doesn't really include that. That's just like utilities and stuff. Is just utilities and stuff.
Right.
So the third one is another wall.
Right. So if anybody does have those two incorporated, then they knocked out two walls in that one. And then
the
final wall is your transportation, your vehicle, your car insurance, your gas, the maintenance on your vehicle. Those are the four walls. And even if you don't have a vehicle, your transportation to get to and from work using the local transportation systems, the trolleys, the subways, the Ubers, whatever it is that you incorporate as transportation to generate an income and put forth your living, that goes into that fourth wall.
Got it.
Yeah. And those are considered the four walls. And it's those, as long as those needs are met. I know everybody cares about their credit and being late on stuff, but think about it. If you have food, you have somewhere to sleep, you have somewhere to wash your body, and you have your vehicle out front where you can meet when you need to go, and the insurance is paid, and if you meet those four things every single month, you don't have nothing else to worry about. I mean, they're gonna send your card to your credit card to collections. Oh, whoop-de-doo. Your credit score is gonna tank. Okay, big deal. But, you know, as long as those things are met, you have to be able to sustain life, especially in situations like this. You can't be worried about paying Capital One and American Express and you ain't got no food in your fridge. That don't make no sense.
Right. Yeah. So you think it's okay to neglect like credit cards and so forth?
Oh, yes, by far. I would call them and tell them right away and say, hey, I don't got it this month and my family needs to eat. I need to be able to take care of the people that's important to me that rely on me. And myself, I can't pay your...
So how would you handle a situation like that,
though? I would call them.
Right. Yeah. But, like, your credit, bro, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. I mean, I for some industries, like, especially in my industry, that's the reason I'm so self-conscious as to when I abstain from borrowing because I know I've been in that situation before. I've been with the repossessions. I've been with the downsides that come behind those things. And I just understand now through experiences and then, of course, through knowledge and learning from mentors and people that taught me how to prevent those things from happening. you know.
Right, but you don't want to dig a hole, though.
You,
right?
Don't, you don't. I mean, you don't.
You don't want to dig a
you
hole.
You don't want to dig a hole, but you have to think about it. You're already in the hole. It's a facade. If you don't have the cash to pay for it immediately, you're already in the hole. The moment you borrow for it, you're in the hole.
All right, Yeah, I agree with
you
that.
You see what I'm saying? Like, 100%. Yeah.
So, all right, so let's say COVID-19 kicks in, mm-hmm. which it is. All right, I could pay rent. Yeah. I could pay my car. I can't pay that high interest rate credit card because my minimum payment's like $200. And with what's going on right now, I might not have another check because I just got laid off. So next 2 weeks is my last check, right? Yeah. So
I'm calling those credit
what
card.
What would you suggest?
I'm calling those credit card companies. I'm requesting a forbearance. I'm requesting hardship deferrals. I'm letting them know, hey, you understand, as I'm not sure if you're aware or not, but we are in a pandemic. I can't make these payments. And either I need you guys to work with me, which a lot of them have been instructed to do, even down to mortgages. Me personally, I would never want to put my mortgage or rent to the back burner. I think because that's part of the four walls in my life and my philosophy. But I would definitely reach out to these companies, unless it's a very dire situation that you have to actually do that. I don't even want to touch what they're talking about with 401ks, because with the way the market looks right now, if you touch your 401ks and they're talking about not getting any penalties and all this extra BS, leave that money alone. Don't touch that unless you're like about to be on your ass tomorrow evicted, which they can't do legally at this point. It doesn't even make sense to even seek those options.
Yeah, 401k is not the way to go.
It's not the way to go. You don't want to touch that.
Yeah, I mean, sheesh. So that's good. That's good that you kind of touch on these financial aspects of how to kind of maneuver your way through this crisis.
And I don't know if
it could be worse.
Do any of your listeners, you think any of your listeners are like small business owners or any people that receive 1099s or 1099 for the people?
Be honest, I'm not quite sure. I would love to know if that is if that's the case. You could reach out to us, and then we could, if any questions or anything like that, we could forward it to Ricardo and get some feedback. But there's a lot of listeners. I just don't have data on actually who.
Gotcha.
It's just numbers right now. It's a number game.
Gotcha.
But for you guys who are listening and that's the case, that applies to you, if you have any questions, just normal questions, like maybe it's not related to exactly the topics that we touched on today, but it could just be like, you know, I got this situation from my employer. It's completely different from what you're saying. How should I go about this? Or my landlord is saying this, or anything that's related. Or just you're just looking for some other opinion, just reach out to us. There's a place where you could leave comments depending on the station that you're using. So like the podcast, dislike the podcast as well. We love feedback. That's what keeps us either getting better or worse, or continuing the podcast or discontinuing the podcast. So don't forget that aspect of it. So any other thing you would like to say, Ricardo, as far as the COVID-19 and how to stay grounded?
I mean, just implement whatever the CDC is saying, just so we can all work together to try and conquer this thing. I mean, practice the social distancing. Take it very serious with the gatherings that people are doing. Don't attend those things. I mean, discourage it. Let's try to defeat this thing. I mean, Ricky, being the front lines of you're in the front lines of the medical field, and I'm sure you see it on a day-to-day basis. So I got to tip my hats off to you, bro, because I'm just seeing the numbers. And I'm sure I'm hearing about people going to sleep, not waking up. That is some crazy stuff. It's scary. It's some scary stuff. And it hasn't touched anybody in my immediate circle, thank God. But I'm sure people out here with these numbers, and it's going to get worse.
Yeah, that's my fear, man. You know, everyone's going to eventually get affected, you know, regardless of if you have a job or don't have a job. You know, everyone, if it continues, everyone's going to get fucked.
There's a lot
in some way or fashion.
I was reading an article, and it's crazy. Like, big companies like Applebee's are closing down. They're not going to be opening their doors once they become out of this. They're out of business. And that's wild, right? And I'm just thinking, it listed a whole bunch of other restaurants that were big named, such as Applebee's. But that really stood out to me because I'm wondering, like, wow, like, a lot of these companies, they will not be opening their doors. They don't realize that they shut their doors for the last time. And even Warren Buffett, this is the last thing I'll put in there as well, too. Warren Buffett, who is a 10% shareholder of major companies like Southwest and Delta Airlines, he just sold those shares, his holdings of shares within those two companies, a month after he said that he would never do it. And when you actually look and research and look into Warren Buffett is one of the investment, his level of knowledge when it comes to investing and looking at perspectives and projections, and it's remarkable. He owns a massive Berkshire Hathaway hedge fund holder. He's the owner of it, and the billions of dollars that he has under management and assets, for him to be able to do that after the government said, hey, we're going to have to bail them out, just shows that. And you see how Southwest and Delta is, they're the most stable of all the airlines. So that might be another industry that might be going, that's going to be, I don't know if 150 billion is going to be able to, or the 200 billion is going to be able to save them. Let's just put it that way. So
yeah, that's wild, man. There's a lot of craziness going on.
Tons.
That's just one of them that I'm just now hearing.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
that's very specious.
Yeah,
it's, to say the least.
Yeah, scary. You know? Scary.
Yeah. So, everyone, just keep on grinding. Don't give up. We never give up. We're gonna get this through this together. Hopefully, this might not be the worst thing we've lived to see, but definitely for me, this is one of the shocker ones because. It's everyone's involved. Every single person, every single organization, everyone is involved in this one. Sometimes we've seen some crazy crisis bombings, this, that, threats, Twin Towers, so forth, war, you know. But not everyone's involved. The entire friggin' globe is involved in this one.
Yeah.
Things are shutting down. Living situations are getting fucked. You know, people are getting desperate as time goes on. So just remember to keep focused, keep level-headed, don't do any wrong shit. Look out for each other. You know, we need to stay united on this. I see, like, when it first hit, a lot of folks buy up all the goods. They stock up their cabinets full of toilet paper and whatever else they could get their hands on, not thinking about others, you know.
Right.
And that's just human nature. But just try to be kind to each other, man.
Yeah, also be mindful of the, like, if you're going to the stores, I'm seeing videos of people drinking off of the juice, putting it back on the shelf. Just be mindful and watch out for that. If it opened too easily, even when you get home and you see that the seal is broken, carry it back. Let them check all the juices that are there. Check all your groceries, your ice creams. Because you see people, you can go on YouTube and you see videos. And these guys, they're getting arrested, which is great. I'm happy that they're getting arrested. But you don't know what they have. I see people just going in there, putting their hands in food and touching different devices. And it's ridiculous, man. So don't trust these people. A lot of people are very vindictive. They feel like they have the virus, so you deserve to have it as well, too. And you just got to protect yourself. Just protect yourself. Defend your six.
Defend your six all time. How do you feel? I know this podcast is getting kind of long, but how do you feel about going back to normal? Say, like, we isolate, we do what's necessary. Jobs are coming back around, which it will. Mm-hmm. You know, people are starting back. Population is gathering again and so forth. Do you think it's going to be awkward? Like, do you feel like it's going to be mentally awkward to be around folks again, hug your friend and five and dap and going to the club and like mingling and strippers and dollar bills coming from all over and shit?
I think this was a wake up call for a lot of people. And I honestly don't think that social gatherings are going to go back exactly how they used to be. Not immediately, at least. I feel like, I think this was kind of good for a lot of people, bro. A lot of people just needed to realize, hey, I'm in a position right now where if this was to happen again, I may not make it.
You know what my grandma used to tell me?
What's that? Your granny was wise, bro.
My grandma used to say, when I get cocky, you know what What's she that? Says? Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Very true.
So this is like a checkmate for a lot of people that thought they were shit. Yeah, a lot of
people thought. Because think about it. We were doing record numbers in all industries, markets, everything.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And a lot of folks that were on top is on the bottom coming out of this.
Yeah,
we have a lot of businesses. No, I'm not saying it. I'm grateful for this or anything like that. I'm sorry for them. But at the same time, while they were, you know, empowered by the financial successes, you know, they weren't looking out for anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now they're kind of getting fucked. So it's just sad to see it because now they're looking up instead of looking down.
Yeah. Like I'm just watching a lot of these businesses, and one of the greatest financial sayings that I ever heard in my whole career doing financial services for 14 years now was that you can tell who was skinny dipping when the tide goes out.
Yeah.
The tide is out, bro. The tide is out. So all these companies that's laying people off and not being able to take care of their employees that's been working with them day in and day out, they were skinny dipping, bro. And they're being exposed right now. They are being exposed. That's
true. So let's talk about the positives a little bit about this COVID-19. I could tell you a few of them from my end.
Go ahead.
And then you can match me. Just like small things. I mean, it kind of sucks being locked down and so forth, but as you said earlier, it kind of brings me down to a level of where I could actually spend some time knowing myself again. And, you know, we could do things that we didn't have the time to do and we overlooked because it wasn't as important as the normal lifestyle, which was like going out here, hanging out with your friends, doing this, you know, doing an activity, going to the store, shopping, so forth. You know, I'll say, walking in the nature isn't canceling or closed. You know, looking at the stars isn't canceling or closed. Calling a close friend isn't canceling or closed. Yeah. You know, reading, you know, financial books, books to educate yourself on different things or calm you down or put you in a different state of mind. That's not closed, right?
Very much true.
That those things are still open. You know, love isn't closed. You could start to love your family members, call them more frequently, spend some time with them on the phone, you know, walk with your daughter and your son, you know, have time to, you know, read them a story and so forth. You know, you could do other shit that you might develop a talent that you never knew happened, like how we used to have this program called Virtual DJ. You know, if you're all, we could do that. We could be better at that now. And it might, when this shit all blows over, it might be the Orlando number one DJ. Who knows?
You never know, bro.
You know, so, like meditating, you know, looking at other things, you know, starting to do some bettering yourself. Yeah. That period is not canceled or closed. It's not in quarantine. That is always something that you could do. So while locked away, I see a lot of people, you know, being motivated and working out. If you're into working out, you can do that shit at home. You can do it online. You don't have to sit there and waste away. You don't have to sit there in your depression state. You don't have to sit there worried. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, you're still alive. There's still a lot of folks who have it worse. No matter how bad you have it, until you're dead, there's someone else with a more twisted story.
Yeah, think about overseas, bro. You see all these people dying. They're not getting a stimulus check. They're not getting the assistance that we're getting from the government. They don't have, they're asking us for ventilators, and we're still making ventilators to supply our population. So, people just got to be thankful, man, because be kind. Like you said, man, be kind. And this is definitely the time to take time just to get to know yourself, learn yourself, and know thyself to improve your own individual wealth and knowledge. I'm going to start back. Like I said, I'm going back through the FPU program, like I was telling Prezi earlier, which is, I'm surprised they're giving that away free, bro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you want to give a shout out to whoever is listening?
Yeah.
Maybe bring them on to that. So in case you're into that type of thing, you could take advantage.
Yeah, pretty much what it is it's Financial Peace University. They're offering it for 14 days free right now. I think it's like $160 or something usually for the year. But you get it for 14 days. And it's 9 1-hour courses, 1-hour videos, and it teaches you the full foundations of how to manage your finances. It gives you, it'll go over some of the things that I just discussed, but even on a more simplistic, intricate level, that would actually give you a sound foundation. And where you can find it is daveramsey.com/hope. I believe is the hyperlink that you would actually just type in, and you can get it. It's free for 14 days, and they have some great books on there as well too. That's like $1.99 for like the audiobooks right now. I read most of those books maybe 20 to 30 times each individually. I mean they're great books, and every time I learn something new and I retain more knowledge from them and I implement them in my personal life. And I know it sounds bad, but I'm reaping the benefits of it now. And I can't really even speak on it because so many people are experiencing hardship that it can kind of come off as bragging. So I just celebrate my own victories by myself, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, man, the whole point of this podcast when I started was to be as blunt and straightforward without filter as possible. Hey, man, we control our lives. You know, we're the ones. So if you don't like this shit, you don't like the sound of it, you turn it off. That's it. You know what I mean? So, fuck. If you wasted your fucking money and you're in this predicament right now and you keep fucking around at the strip club with a little money that you have left over after building your four fucking walls instead of putting it into a savings account, and a year passed you, and your New Year resolution from 2018 going to 2019 flopped on January 31st, then fuck, you fucked up. I didn't do it.
You're absolutely right. That's called.
I told you so.
It's got to have ownership. They got to take ownership for. At this point, everybody just has to take ownership for their own actions and be responsible. And that's honestly being an adult. That's adulting. That's just what it is.
Yo, I didn't know this shit was gonna happen either. But I did say, without even thinking about a fucking event, that, yo, there's going to be a rainy day, yo. If there's a up, there's a fucking down. While you're up, yo, prepare for the fucking down. Because when you're down, you're fucking down. So when you're up, I just feel bad for the folks that has this mentality, and even though they're strict and they do this and do that, yo, it's just that they're in a position where they just can't get that traction that they need to be better. You know what I mean? I've been in that position before.
The hardest thing to do is change the mind, bro. That's the hardest thing to do.
Yeah, but like even then, I feel like there's a lot of folks who they'll do all that mind changing, strict this, strict that, hard work. But because they just haven't had the opportunity given to them or presented to them, they just haven't had the opportunity where they could say, for example, save an extra, $100 a month. They're constantly living of paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. And they may have criminal history where they can't even find a job, or they dropped out of school and, the job that they're seeking requires like a medical degree or some shit, or, but let me tell you something, man. If there's a will, there's a fucking way. And I mean, I'm sorry for you guys. I'm sorry for myself when I was in that position and still is in that position, because there's a lot more shit that I want to accomplish, and we're all hard on ourselves into getting to that goal. But at the same time, man, like, I could say the same shit, like, I fucked around. I could have done better.
I think we all could have. We always can always do better.
So we just need to figure it out and start making those hard steps, especially when it's dire moments like these, pull yourself together. You got to know how to pull yourself together. Being comfy is one thing. You know, that's fine. Being comfy, being chill, being, you know, reserved and relaxed and not needing to step in any direction is fine. You're comfy, you're complacent where you are, that's fine. But, like, when shit hit the fan, you got to react and you got to do it smartly and, you know, you got to move quickly and stop fucking around. You know, stop looking for a handout.
And just be logical, yo. You people know, just got to be logical. They just got to control the emotions. Don't act on impulse. Be logical.
No, I was just saying, like, a lot of folks I hear talking about this stimulus check coming in. I have some tenants on my dad's today. Dad went over there, but like, yo, what's up with this rent? You know, can you guys pay, or, you know, you guys need some time. What's going on? And, you know, you need some help. And they're like, oh yeah, stimulus check's coming. And my dad's just like,
yeah,
my dad comp him.
But see, that's the thing. Your dad shouldn't have to go to them. They should have came to him a long time ago.
My dad was, yeah, that's the thing. And, you know, my dad was just kind of like, you know, these folks, man, they're always going to be stuck in a cycle, because instead of trying to be more than prepared for just an assistant, they're not taking any other steps. They're not covering their ends. Like, for example, what you said earlier about the credit card and the situation with that, you know, your due date is on the 2nd. You don't make any arrangement the entire month before to say, okay, I can't pay this, so we need to make this action. You wait until fucking the credit card companies start to call
you shouldn't get to that.
Or your landlord start looking for you, or you're getting evicted notices and stuff like that. Like, you shouldn't get to that. So, you know, they missed their rent already, and it's like, my dad had to go over there and be like, yo, we know what's going on, but I just need to know where you are right now. Are you planning on moving? Are you planning on what's going on? Like, you need some help, you need some time, you want me to come, you want me to do this, what? Like, let's do business here. You know what I mean? So they're waiting. Yeah, they're missing a month of rent, for example. This is how I see it. I don't know what he's thinking, what my dad's thinking. But from my perspective, it's like, okay, you miss 1 month of rent. The government say, yo, you extend everything for another 30 days or 60 days or whatever. No eviction, no this, no that. You know, your landlord's working with you, right? And say, yo, don't even worry about this month. Just pay me next month, because you're telling me a check's coming. But my thing is that within that 30-day, 60-day period waiting on a check or whatnot, what are you doing? Because that fucking check is not going to last you anything. So when that check comes and you give it up for rent, which you're not, by the way, because you need food, you need water, you're not going to do that shit. You're not going to spend all your dollar on just fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
think about it. That, you know, there's other bills. That's just rent. So what are you going to do? Yeah. And that's what my dad is trying to tell me. Like, yo, these guys are just waiting around for assistance. They're not thinking about, yo, this shit won't last me. Man, that Mustang sounds good.
It's just that hustler's mentality, bro. A lot of people are going to sit down and wait for their hands. They're going to sit there with their hands out, and they're going to sit on their butt for 30 days. Or you can get up and go see Amazon, Aldi's, Walmart, all these.
Yeah, you can work from home. You could be a receptionist. They have so much opportunity. I mean, yeah, it's hard to get into, but you could try, man.
There's so many companies right now that are hiring. Amazon just pledged to hire 100,000 drivers. 100,000 drivers. That's amazing. And they drivers don't get paid peanuts. You're probably going to end up making more than what you was making before. And if you are unemployed, not only you should definitely have already filed for the unemployment, but you should definitely be trying to get into one of these companies in the meantime, just to hold yourself over until your industry comes back. But we don't know how long this is going to last. And you do. And like you said, you're going to need, the government can't tell all these people, all these landlords, hey, you're not going to get money. And then go and tell the bank and say, hey, don't mess. It doesn't work. Like, this is a free country. And I get it. It's nobody's fault that this pandemic is happening. But it is people's faults for not taking the precautions to protect themselves to get into. You got to have that ownership. And if you don't, if you don't, you're going to play victim for the rest of your life. And you got to be able to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, and you got to get out of that mentality. It's a, It's a poor man's mindset. Don't have that mentality. Don't be that person.
Exactly. Don't be that person, yo. Don't be lazy and shit. And also, you know, it takes dedication to accomplish certain things, like when you're stressed out to not, you know, spend your last dollar on some alcohol, for example. Or a lot of folks, you know, they when they're stressed, to relieve the stress, they do things, you know, that cost them to go back into that financial crisis.
And exercising is the best.
You know, like if money is your
that's the best relationship.
Yeah, if money is your if money is one of your main issues, hold on 1 second. I got you know, this is live, so we're out there. Hey. Oh, really?
Yeah, and he's not coming back till Monday. I figured I'd let you know because you're parked over here too.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Oh, thank you. Cause yeah, yeah. As soon as they move the cone, I'm gonna just kind of walk. I have to get out of the house.
Oh, yeah, I just did a 45-mile bike.
Oh, yeah.
You got a new car?
No, that's my dad's. Yeah, my car is at his house. I just took his car. So.
Yeah, no, I just told the guy right now I'm going to bring him around, so he can just move the car.
Okay, no problem. Thank you, though.
Yeah.
I have my keys on me, so I'll move it right now.
There you go.
All righty. How's the bike? How's the bike? Yeah. All right, sounds good. I'll see you later. Yeah. Good neighbors. Yeah. Looking out for me. You know?
Another thing as well, too, bro.
Yeah, everybody
another
likes
thing
that
as
car.
Well too, bro. People could be out doing Uber Eats right now, Grubhub, Dash, DoorDash.
Yeah.
You know, they could be just delivering food and still get the unemployment checks as well on top of getting your stimulus check. There's more than one way out of the cycle.
There's a lot more ways, man. People are just super duper lazy. People are content in some aspect. And some folks just go with the flow. They don't have any motivation at all to do whatever. They're just going to see how it pans out. Like,
yeah.
You know?
I've been taking advantage at this time. I'm not going to lie. This, as bad as it is, it has been an amazing experience working from home. Being able to put in the hours. I think last pay period, I put in like 170 hours. And just, bro. And then the things that the company that I'm working with, they're just really taking care of us as employees. I love it. Oh my gosh. Like, it's just.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I on the other hand, I still do my normal shit. Nothing changed on my side. You know, I don't do anything different.
Yeah, but you're on the front lines.
I'll go to work, bro. Still clock in, still clock out.
You're in the front lines, though. Like, you're in person. You're battling this. Your job is essential because you're helping to battle and fight against what the whole world is pretty much going against right now.
So. Yeah. It sucks. It's a lot of preparation, a lot of freaking out, a lot of planning, a lot of changing. The changes. Or if you're not used to change, right now, the health field will definitely test you. Changes every 2 day. Like, one day you're wearing masks. The next day you're not wearing masks. One day it's airborne. Next day it's droplet precaution. One day we're in total lockdown. The next day we're okay. The next day we're calling everybody and their mom, giving them updates on their family members and loved ones because we restrict visitors. And the next day we're not. It's like, one day we have a case. And the next day we don't.
It's constantly changing. It's like
constantly, you know. It's just panic preparation. Fuck. It's a lot of shit, man. My biggest thing is I don't mind going to work and helping folks. I'm non-clinical, so I don't have to really deal with the actual patient. So I'm in the office and I see what's going on, but I'm more of the organizer, so you know, speaking with the administrators and directors at each department, so forth. So I get the actual planning part and see and know the knowledge of what's really going on and the turns and so forth. But it's just still stressful. So I could just imagine, like, a lot of folks, I heard my CEO told me yesterday that they're hiring more nurses because Right now, as we stand, we don't have a COVID patient in our facility. However, we're prepping for that, right? And while training, like I got trained on different departments. I got trained in physical therapy. Thank you, physical therapists, if you're listening. That was an awesome training. They do some hard shit. And then I got trained in respiratory therapy. Thank you, respiratory therapist, again, if you're listening. I got trained as a CNO, which is hardcore job and disgusting at times. And like changing Foleys and doing all this stuff. And mind you, I'm non-clinical, so I don't have to do that. I just walk in the room, I say hi and bye and sign some documents and I'm gone. I set up things on the computer behind the scenes, admissions. But to see it physically there, like say, hey, Ricardo's leg just got chopped off. I'm the one who's responsible for his dressing changes to make sure. And I'm held accountable. Wow. So if I fuck up, you know, I fuck up your wound, you know what I mean? And you spaz out and we have to, you know what I mean? It's on me. So I'm seeing all those responsibilities that they were training me for in case of crisis. So I could assist. It was kind of crazy, man. And that's when I was like, holy shit. It's good knowledge though, but man, it's like a crash course. Like it all happened in one and a half week. And I was like, shit. And it's just, they're just rubbing the surface, bro. I'm not even like 100% knowledgeable still, you know? So I could have just hats off to the clinical folks. That's all I could say. It's a tough job. And a lot of responsibility. You know, changing, seeing the different types of gauze that they use and the names. And I even do telemetry where, you know, you see like the heart rate and the different types of sequence that could be a code or not a code or, you know, AFib and so forth. Like, it's crazy. Because just in case, you know, the monitor tech has to, because so the way how they're working it, they're preparing for a disaster. So if the monitor tech, if we have an influx of patients, and say, for example, the monitor tech who's monitoring the patients in the room and heart rate and so forth, they could go help do something else while I take over their position, for example, and so forth. It's like a fallback type thing. So the nurses are training to do other shit. And, you know what I mean? The respiratory therapists are training to do other shit. And the physical therapists are training to do other shit. And everybody's training to do some other shit, including the CEO. So everybody here is just gearing up for war just in case it comes down to that.
Pretty much when it comes down to that, it's coming.
So it's pretty crazy.
Do you see them doing...
Like, I don't know. From your
perspective, are you seeing like these people on the front lines? Are they having any like differentials or any type of incentives that are being given to them for risking their lives on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I see a lot of bonuses. I see a lot of overtime. However, the hospitals are empty, man. So a lot of folks are still, you know, the staff, these floors are still empty. There's a lot of emptying out with making room for process going on. So the hospital, like when I walk around, it's kind of like being outside after curfew hours. It's kind of dead. Like the parking garage is dead. There's only employees coming in and physicians and so forth. It's very amazing. Never seen anything like this, man.
It's definitely something that we're going to be able to tell our children and our grandchildren, and this is the Great Depression for our era. Like it was for our parents and our grandparents. Yeah, man. Definitely was nice catching up with you, bro. Getting on the JBM podcast.
Yes. So we could wrap it up now. Thank you for joining. We will do another one soon. This one is kind of long, but we'll make it work. If you're home and bored and just want something to listen to, general conversation, some tips and so forth to help yourselves out, or maybe some of the things, for example, the financial guide might be something that you could look into and better yourself. Who knows? Everyone just stay safe, abide by the law, hang in there, make the best of it. Don't fall into depression. Find something to better yourself in the meantime while isolated. And I always say, have some vodka. Well, J. V. M.